Yeah, it's really nice. And I have three USB sticks as well. So we're going to have lots of giveaways. I try to keep it very interactive. The thing I want to start out with, where my clicker is just a kind of a quick review of Visio and Visio services, since a lot of you, I would say most of you, probably want that refresher or at least a general primer on what Visio and Visio services and how they all work together. I'll try to explain that. Then what we want to do is really go over three things that really forestall and generally cause problems when dealing with data-connected diagrams and just trying to do business intelligence solutions overall. And that's around, you know, the struggles, how do you get over those struggles, and how do you actually execute. So we're just going to go walk through those. We're going to have a bunch of demos, okay? So I have one, two, three, four, I think it's four different demos, okay? We're going to try to take it through step by step so that if you're at any level, business all the way up to dev, you'll get something out of this. The dev obviously is at the end because we build on kind of the basis. So we're going to start at the easy start and kind of go to the end and end with some good developer information. The one thing that you'll notice here is it's ingredients and architecture. So since this is the end of the day, I wanted to kind of take a food thing because probably everybody's starting to think about food. What am I going to have for dinner? So we're going to be talking about cake. And how do you actually mix these ingredients to bake your cake? Because, you know, most people, if you've ever dealt with, I saw a whole bunch of people were CRM people. If you ever go up to a CRM administrator and you say, I want to know what's going inside the workflows and all, you know, how those workflows are doing, and I want all that business intelligence out. Can you help me? And basically they turn around and Marie Antoinette, they say, let them eat cake. And it's basically, I can't do anything for you, right? Because it's locked in the system. There's no way in which you can pull that out in the user interface of CRM. And I'll show you what the information that's in CRM is and where you can find it and why it's not that easy and useful to try to use inside a CRM. Now hopefully they're going to fix it a little bit later on. But the great news is we don't have to worry about them fixing it because we know how to get work around it, right? Let's see here. Let's go ahead and start out with Visio overall. When you look at Visio and the way in which it falls into the business intelligence stack overall, it is the visual component of business intelligence. So many people throughout history have represented, and you can see it here, information in a visual format. Okay, and let's take it back to the cake and food, right? If you have, my favorite is orange rolls, okay? I break out the orange rolls, I flip it over, and I look at the temperature little graphic, and I look at the little time graphic. I don't read the instructions, okay? You know, first break, you know, tear a long thing. I mean, so there's visual people and there's textual people. Most people are visual, especially when you have to do with complex information. And so that complex information, representing that information and connecting those dots, okay? Generally, if you're a manager, you'll go into several different systems in the morning and you'll look at, you know, this information and these KPIs and this report and this spreadsheet, and then you'll sit there and you'll go like, okay, now I have an idea, or I can bring that together and I know how my business is, or I know what my agency or my division is doing, and I know what the health of it is. I can go along with the rest of my day, there are no fires, okay? But you had to go to several different systems, right? In a visual approach, very much like an infographic, how many people know what infographics are? Okay, so infographics is basically taking very complex information and breaking it down into one kind of big picture that is, you know, it's on a screen and you have four or five different graphics. And they bring together pie charts and graphs and kind of cute concepts that allow you to understand a very complex area very quickly. You'll see Twitter infographics and you'll see social networking infographics. There's a Windows 8 infographic. You can go out and find those. And basically, they're trying to get all the information boiled down into a simple picture. And that's really what you're looking at for Visio. Is it boils all that information down into one picture. So you can go into Visio, look at your division, look at your section, you see it's green, And you don't care if anything else, right? If it's green, it's green. Why would you care whether or not the sales are 0.5% over the where they were? It's within the margin of error. You can go with your normal work. So that's really what you look at. Now, this is where we're going to start breaking into the three things, okay? And the three things that we want to start out with are data and CRM. There's a struggle here, okay? And the struggle is really around data confusion, okay? This is one of the big blockers for business intelligence overall, and I'll address how we actually solve this in just a second. But when you look at data confusion, really the issue here is the single source of truth. Many people, most people within organizations, what they do, they export information out of a system, mail it to somebody, that person will take that spreadsheet, modify it, and then mail it to somebody else who will modify it. So there's no single source of truth. So you go to your manager and you go like, we're on track, and then another guy goes to the manager and go like, we're hosed. And the manager goes like, wait a second, this is the same report, two different people, why are you telling me two different stories? And it's because they care about different things within that report. So it's very difficult to understand what that single source of truth is. SharePoint, in its approach to being able to query that data source and bring it in and present it and then keep up to date in a centrally located location with Visio and Visio services, allows you to solve a lot of those data confusion issues. Okay. Next one is sharing's just too hard. Okay. Most people look at, you know, most people have ancient systems and that data is locked in the system. So that's why they're doing the export. You have to have specific permissions in order to get access to the data. So how do you balance the permissions and the security and such forth in a very good way? And then there's this whole idea of information control. How do I make sure that it's not leaked outside of my organization? So that's where you want to make sure that it's not just a mail. I mean, with the DLP stuff inside of Exchange, which is data loss protection, you can kind of start protecting that sort of information. But if you lock it inside of SharePoint and use some of the capabilities inside of SharePoint, it becomes a little bit easier to share that information. Then when we're talking about everywhereness, okay, BYOD, big topic, everybody probably has heard the term, bring your own device. That is, I want to bring an iPad, I want to bring an iPhone, I want to bring a Windows 8 phone, I want to bring a Windows 7 phone, I want to bring a Droid. I don't know why you would, but okay. Whatever device you want, you can bring it. But the problem is, when you are talking about those devices, as you have less and less control, you have more and more risk to your data. So essentially, you don't want to store data on that device. You want to host it someplace else and allow them to browse it. So these are kind of the areas that you're looking at. The other one is connecting the dots. Connecting the dots as far as, I kind of gave the example earlier, you go into 20 different systems in order to figure out what the thing is that you care about. I care about whether or not your sales are on track, whether or not your division is servicing the right number of people. In order to do that, you're doing a mind map. You're looking at all the data and you're bringing it together in your mind. Why not just use the visual that represents people and then show whether they're green, yellow, red, right? So that's kind of the background into where Visio fits in the overall business intelligence and why it kind of has a really great niche and a great solution for data sharing, data management. Two big areas inside of Visio are business insights and management, and then sharing the work. So to clarify that, business management and insights are, managers want visibility into what's going on in systems. Employees want visibility into what's going on in systems, right? You have less stress if you know, when you look at your daily work, there's less stress if you know that you only have 5 cases left instead of, oh, I have 75 cases and it's 4:00. There, having that visibility allows you to manage your own time and allows the managers to feel much better about their overall section, reduces the number of fire drills. So that's kind of the business insight part. The other part that we're not going to talk about unless we have extra time at the end is around workflows. There's actually a session that's going on, I think Thursday, on workflows. And SharePoint has this ability to create SharePoint workflows, workflow for SharePoint 2010, And also you can do BPMN, which is Business Process Markup Notation, which is basically a fancy word for kind of formalized workflow design, okay? So when you look at those, Visio kind of gives you both things, the ability to track stuff and the ability to automate the tasking and routing of information. So it kind of goes on both sides of that information area. So the next thing I wanted to kind of go over is, for many of you that are business inside this room, the solution that I'm going to show you today, some of it may be within your realm to do. A lot of it is simply being able to know how to use Excel, maybe working with your CRM counterpart in order to figure out where that information is and help them connect your data, your Excel spreadsheets and such forth to the back-end data system. But essentially, it is the following steps. You design, you basically figure out what the workflow is that you need to track or the visual that you want to do. You then connect it to that data source. And that connection to the data source may be an interim component. It may go to Excel and then into the data system. Then you go ahead and you share it. You post it out into SharePoint. You use Visio services, and you can create a web page. And then you go ahead and you refine that process. You just go ahead and do it, okay? So with that, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of background into the origins of the recipe, of basically of why I developed this solution, who the customer, well, I can't tell you who the customer is, but what the customer challenge was and kind of how this evolved. And then that gives you context for the rest of kind of the solution and why we built it out the way we did. So we had basically a customer using CRM. And inside of CRM, there was no way for them to have visibility of what workflows were going on. And in order for them to improve their processes and improve CRM, and this was specifically for vets, so they were trying to improve the quality of service that they were providing to people. So they wanted to track on different metrics, but the information was essentially obfuscated inside the CRM data system. They couldn't draw it out easily, okay? So now that they kind of told us that, what we did was we go back and we looked at the full set of suite of, you know, SharePoint, and found that Visio, with its ability to map that data and then give them that data representation that they really wanted to do, would really help improve the process and the ability to track and improve the process. Okay, so that's where it really came out. So first step I wanted to talk to you about, and there's three big kind of components to this solution, is on the road. Okay, now this is, if you're looking at taking things and going, CRM is not only an on-prem, but it's also in the cloud. Okay, so if you have somebody that's in the cloud, we were talking a little bit earlier on, that person's probably going to be a salesperson, or they're going to be a field worker. They're going to go out and they're going to talk to people. If they're going to be out and talk to people, they're probably not going to have an internet connection, even at like conferences like this, where, you know, sometimes the internet goes down, right? So how do you know what the status is, right? And let me give an example. If I were a pharmaceutical salesperson and I go into a doctor and the doctor says, yeah, I need, you know, 1,000 units of this, you know, could I turn right around and go, yep, we can get that to you Wednesday? I can't guarantee it, because I would need to have that connection. And what I'm going to show you is, no, you can actually take that information and have that visibility with you, so that when he asks you the question, when can you get this to me, you can say, well, according to this, we're not, you know, backlogged. We can get that to you within a week. And that is the customer service that you're trying to increase, right? So these are basically the five steps. And this is the scenario, is basically being able to go and be in a disconnected manner on the road. And so it's, you're going to design it, you're going to add the shapes, you're going to create the shape names, and I'll show you what that is if you don't know what shape names are. You're going to link it to the data, you're going to associate the data to the shape, and then you're going to format the data graphic. Okay, so this is the thing, if you only have five things that you can remember, you know, as far as bullet points, remember this, and I'll show you as we go along how this works out. Okay. Alrighty. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to start out, and I think I have internet connection now. Yes, I do. Yay. Okay, so let me start out where I really want to start out, which is opening up Visio. Okay, let me clarify something up front. Everything that I'm talking to you is Visio Pro, okay, not Visio Standard. Data connected diagrams, that sort of stuff, that is all Visio Professional. You can't do this with standards. The templates just aren't available there. So the thing that we're going to go into is flow charts. Okay? Now notice that there's a bunch of different flow charts. The one that we're going to use is the SharePoint 2013 template. And there's a reason why we're using the SharePoint template, is that you could use the BPMN, you could use the SharePoint workflow, you can use the 2013. When you have CRM, sometimes you want to take some of those business processes and actually offload those into SharePoint. You don't want to take the expense of having to have yet another account for another individual that may do a very simple task. So when you're looking at designing your workflow, you can design it as a SharePoint workflow, connect it to the data diagram, and if at any point in time you want to take one component of that workflow and automate it inside of SharePoint, you've already done the work. You're reusing your work. Okay, you could easily do this as a business process markup. You could do it as just a normal flow chart. But the reason why I chose to, with the customer, to go after a SharePoint workflow is that it gives them a future path. If they wanted to move more and more of the workflow and components into SharePoint, they could, and then reduce the number of people and accounts that they had in CRM. So it gives them a flexibility in how their users actually access. So we're going to go ahead and click on, we're blinking. Why are we blinking? What's that? Oh, is it up? There, okay. So we're going to go ahead and start out with the SharePoint. And why is it blinking again? So we're going to start out with, I think this is the SharePoint 2010, and the 2013 is right here. So we're going to go ahead and start out, and we're going to create a SharePoint 2013 workflow. Now, how many people have seen SharePoint 2013 workflows before? Okay, so I'll be a little bit more descriptive as I'm going along inside of this. So the first thing that we're going to start out with is we're going to actually try to figure out what type of disorder or what type of problem this veteran has, okay? Do they have post-traumatic stress disorder, okay, which is PTSD, or do they have a trauma, which is, I think it's TMI. So traumatic brain injury, TBI. So those were the two kind of cases that they were looking at trying to track within the CRM workflow, okay? So the first thing I have to do is decide what it is that we're trying to workflow. And then the second thing that we're going to do is we're actually going to figure out what we're going to do. We're going to actually set some goals for improvement. So we're going to create a case. We're going to try to figure out how to address this and how to improve the overall situation of this soldier. So there's kind of your basic workflow, okay? And I have one pre-made just like, you know, Martha Stewart. I'll be taking it out of the oven in just a minute. But I wanted to show you a couple of the ingredients that we put in here, okay? So this is your normal workflow, not that difficult at all. The thing that I want to pay attention is you see this upper right-hand corner? What we're going to do here is we're going to go ahead and we're going to define shape data, okay? And we're going to call that shape data step. And this is why I don't type for a living. So we named it step. So we now have a property on that shape that is called step. This is basically in the development and IT pro area, this is your key, okay? This is your primary key in order to associate data to it, okay? And then the next one we're gonna do is we're gonna do the exact same thing over here, okay? Okay. So now let me go back, and I'm going to make sure that this is step one, okay, and then I'm going to make sure that this is step four, And where these steps come from, I'll show you in just a minute where they come from inside the CRM data system. So now I have all my data, I have my basically my workflow done, I have labeled what those pieces on the board are, and now what I want to do is I want to link it to data. So what I'm going to go ahead is I'm going to go ahead and open up a link to data wizard. Now notice here that we have Excel, Access, SharePoint, SQL, ODBC, and OLADB. We also have something called Previously Created. Basically, that's BCS. That's an Office Data Connector file, okay? So that's where you can use those different ways to get access to it. The Excel spreadsheet doesn't have to be on your desktop. In this scenario, we're going to build it on the desktop, but it could easily be in SharePoint, and we're going to show you what the difference is in just a minute. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to open up and find that that spreadsheet. And then we're going to choose a summary sheet. And see, the step is right here. That's your key. And we hit finish. So notice that down below, I now have data. So I have data and I have a diagram. They're not connected together yet. Because we did the shape name definition, all I need to do is hit one button. Actually, it's three steps. One button is called automatically link. Then I say yes to next things. Because they're the same value, it automatically detects it. I hit next, and I hit finish. Now, what you'll notice is it automatically overlaid some information here, and it added, kind of extended the schema, as it were. It added properties to those shapes. I didn't have to type it. It automatically said, you have shape one. I have data for shape one. Add all this other stuff to it, too. Okay. So now that I have that, what I want to do is I want to go back to, and I want to actually format the data graphic. So here is my data graphic. And I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to change the way in which it looks. You can see that all I'm simply doing is I can go in here and I can say create new data graphic, and I can say new, and I'm going to say count, and I'm going to go, let's say, data bar, and I'm going to go OK, yes, I want to apply it to this section, and there's my data bar. I could choose where I want to put it, on the top, on the bottom, left, right, okay? So instead of watching me go through and do this, which is very laborious, because you have to define it at least once, what I want to do is just go over to the pre-baked version and show you kind of what it looks like when you finalize all this stuff together. Okay. So now what you'll see here is this is exactly the same thing. Okay. This is diagnosed with PTSD. You have the data underneath. You saw that it's links, and now you see that I did four or three different graphics. The total time, count, and its trend. Okay, that information is in the data down below, and I'll show where that data comes from in just a second. Okay, now imagine you go out on the road and you need to have this information. You can simply bring up this diagram inside of Visio, and if this were your shipping timeline, you could look at it. It's going to be a week before we can get you your order, Dr. So-and-so, right? So essentially, you know you can manage that information on the road, and that is coming from an Excel spreadsheet. So if you come over here, you'll notice that this information is coming from an Excel spreadsheet, and this is a data connection. So all I'd have to do is go data and hit refresh all before I walked into any client or I went out on the road for that day. I would just hit refresh all. It would pull down the latest and greatest information, and then I could go along with all my accounts throughout the day, having some visibility into what was going on with the business process and or delivery times and such forth within the industry. Okay? So very interesting when you're kind of on the road, quote unquote. Next one I want to, are there any questions before I move on? Let me pause there. No questions? Self-explanatory? Yes, you can. You can host both of them up on SharePoint. And in fact, that's the next thing we're going to, which is in the enterprise, okay? So let me do the prerequisite flip over, the prerequisite advance. That's what we just did. There's many flavors of cake. Okay, we just showed you on the road. We're now going to break it a slightly different cake, and that is the in the enterprise. And these are the five steps inside the enterprise. So it's exactly the steps that you did on the road in order to create the diagram, but there's five additional steps that you need to do in order to get it hosted within SharePoint and have it be enterprise-ready, single source of truth, okay? That essentially is the uploading, you reconnect it, you publish it, you edit a page, and you have a web access part, web part, okay? How many people know how to edit a page and add a web part to a page? Okay, most people do. Okay, good. So I probably don't need to show you guys that, but I'll try to go as quickly as I can. So the first thing what we want to do is go over here and go File, and we want to save as to, where did I put it? What was that? Oh, you're still looking at PowerPoint. There you go. Is that better? See, I can see everything, so. Thank you. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go out, not to the local machine, but I'm going to go out to the actual SharePoint site. This is being hosted in Office 365, so it's actually in the cloud, but it wouldn't work any different if we are on-prem. And I would sit here and I'd hit go to the location, and I would simply just save it. Okay, you see there's one already up there called published. That, the reason why I have that is just so I can, I don't overwrite it, so I don't have to redo it all the time. So essentially I have now published this information, and instead of that Excel spreadsheet existing on my desktop, it is now up either in the cloud or in SharePoint. Great, so now we have the source of the information that is published in there. Now, some people may ask, well, that's great, but then I still have to manually refresh it. If I publish this into a Power Pivot library, I could actually schedule refreshes on that Excel spreadsheet, okay? And there are sessions on Power Pivot galleries and how to do the scheduling and such forth there, okay? But essentially all you're doing is you connected the data and then you say, Power Pivot, go ahead and refresh this data once a day, once an hour, whatever it happens to be. And therefore, it goes out to the system on a scheduled basis, refreshes the data, and then everything forward just automatically happens. It's really, really nice. Okay. So now that I have my data up there, I have my spreadsheet. Well, the thing that you'll notice here in data sources, if I didn't mess it up here, yeah, okay, so that is, there it is, disconnected. I opened up the wrong one. So the thing that you'll notice right here in the properties is that it's on my hard drive, right? It's on the C drive. So what I want to do, first of all, is I want to remove this data source. You can do it, you can remove it at any time. But essentially notice that I've removed the data source, but the data in the diagram is still kind of cached. That's the default value of Visio. It will cache the data even when you disconnect it from the data source altogether. Okay? Now notice that the only thing I need to do is go to the Excel spreadsheet, okay, select the SharePoint version, or the, excuse me, the version up on SharePoint. Okay, come on. Okay, there we go. The documents. And I'm going to choose the published version because that was already up there. And now I'm going to hit next. And what it's going to do is it's going to go through the exact same thing that I did on my desktop, and it's going to bring that information. The difference is that information is no longer my desktop, it's up in SharePoint. Okay, it could be in a normal document library or in Power Pivot being scheduled to be updated every once in a while. Now again, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go to data, and how do I link this information to the shapes easily for a USB stick? How do I link the shapes to the data in just a couple clicks? Automatically link, who said that? There you go, yeah, USB, watch it. So we have automatically link all shapes, step to step, automatically because the names are associated, and I hit next, and there they are, they're linked. Now, Who can guess what the next step is that I need to do in order to make sure that this is all a single source of truth up on SharePoint? Almost. Publish it to SharePoint, right? I have my data source is up on SharePoint, but the spreadsheet is still locally. So I need to put that up on SharePoint. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to go File, Save As. So it's now publishing this up to SharePoint. So now both of these documents are SharePoint documents. They're both not on my laptop. I could cache them locally if I wanted to go on the road, but now they are enterprise centrally managed information. Okay. Now what I'm going to do is I'm simply going to go into SharePoint. And I'm going to go into this document library. And what you'll notice is all the documents that I published are up in that document library. And if I go and I click on, let's go to disconnected because that's the one I just did live, right? You'll notice that that information shows up. It looks beautiful, but this is not a dashboard. If you show this to your manager or somebody, they go like, yeah, but is there a way that you can just put it on a page? And so you go, sure, sure. So you kind of go back over and you go to your shared documents and you go to any given page. I'm going to go to the home page and notice that there's already one here. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through the 2010 adding another one. So I'm going to go ahead and edit the page. Scroll on down and then I'm going to insert a web part from the business data area called Visio Web Access. I'm just going to hit add. Okay. And there it is. But now you have to hook it up, okay? It is like, how many people are familiar with Excel services? Okay, so it's exactly the same thing. You put the Excel services web part and then you have to tell it where the spreadsheet is. It's the exact same model. So we go ahead and we're gonna go in here and we're gonna go edit the web part. Or not. Okay, let's try this again. Edit. It was doing so good. Is it still there? Let's look. No, it deleted the web part. Okay, give me a second here. All right. I do have a backup plan just in case this goes all awry. I've heard there has been nothing but problems with the internet lately. So, no. Okay. Plan B. So we are on in the enterprise. Okay, so this is where I can just talk and let you guys watch a little movie of me actually doing this. Let's see here. Do it about 125. There you go. So this is where I'm in the actual page itself. I'm going to go ahead and add that web part. Okay, and once I add the web part. And by the way, all the demos that I did, there are recordings. If you want the recordings, I'll give them to you. Just come up. They're on a USB stick. Or if you want to give me your name, I can put them out on a SkyDrive account, and you can just download them at will. They're just flash videos. But it kind of gives you an idea of you can go back and look at this at your leisure without having to actually watch the whole presentation and hear me speak. So I would appreciate it. So now what you'll notice is that I've actually gone through and I've selected the diagram that I published, and it was the 2010 version. And then I'm going to edit the actual web part properties. Let me speed this up a little bit. Okay. And what happens after you edit the web properties is that you can actually set the height, the width, you can name it, you can say which pieces of this you want. You can say, I don't want any of the tools, the Open and Visio, the tabs, nothing. Okay, very much exactly like Excel services. Okay, so now you have essentially the ability to create that dashboard. I think that was it. So now you have that ability to create the dashboard. So now let's go ahead and go back to the next part, which is I have to do my little advance here. Basically figuring out how you mix your cake. Okay? So great, you showed me how to give the display, but that's generally the easier part. Okay? Figuring out where the data is, extracting the data, discovering the data are very difficult things to do. So let me give you some hints on how you do that with CRM. Okay? So here are basically the five components of how to find and visualize your data, which is, number one, you've got to explore it, and I'll show you some exploring tools for CRM in just a second. You combine that data with other systems, and I'll show you what that looks like. Synchronize, aggregate, and publish. Okay, five easy steps again. Okay, so now let's go ahead and switch back over, and I'll show you a tool that you can use to explore CRM. Okay, how many people have heard something called Stunware? Stunware. It's a shareware tool, okay? And what it does, it allows you to design queries, okay? Now, I've been asked from CRM people whether or not I could just connect directly to views and such forth that are inside a CRM. I could, but CRM does not expose the data that we need inside of the views, okay? It's only in the data system. And not only that, or worse yet, it's in the log system. It is not in a associated data system. It is, so when a workflow runs and executes, it actually logs its information to a log database, okay? That's where we have to go to get the information, okay? And to give you a little bit of information about why we're doing this, okay, is if I go over to my CRM system, and it's gonna come up in a second, am I on the right display? Yes. So here's my CRM system. Notice it gives me my open sales pipe, it gives me all this information, but it doesn't give me the information about the workflow. So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna go to my processes, and I'm gonna actually go to the process that I care about. Now notice that this is your workflow. This representation, okay, textually, is exactly what I've been using for the Visio workflow. Where is it? Right here. Which one do you think your manager would rather look at for auditing? Okay? This one, right? So this allows you to have a way of documenting and communicating to the rest of the team without basically giving them what I equate to as pseudocode. Okay? So great, you've got your information, you see the workflow. Now what we're gonna do is we're gonna go into audit history, okay? And we're gonna look at what information CRM thinks you need to know, okay? This says that Keith did a change date on 2011 at 3-10. Okay, great, one action, okay? There's actually six steps in this workflow. Why is there only one action? Because they're not logging out and tracking that information. Here, they are in the database, okay? So now we're gonna go a little bit more into the IT and dev area, which is, this is the schema, okay, the designer of what information we're interested in. We're interested in the workflow ID, the async operation for the workflow ID, and we're gonna join it with other information like owner information. Okay, and for those that are a little on the more geeky side, remember we're raising the bar as we go along, so now we're getting more into the dev and IT. This is now a fetch XML definition. This shows you the definition of what I executed in order to get this information back from the data system. Okay, now we're going to take it down just a second and go over to the actual XML results, or better yet, this is the business-friendly view of, this is basically the spreadsheet that you just saw, okay? This is, in all kind of certainty, exactly what is inside my Excel spreadsheet, okay? So now we know, here's the query, here's the data that we need to get to, and we bring it into Excel spreadsheet. And now we have all this data, right? But you'll notice that there's a lot of information that we don't care about. And there's one limitation that you need to know about Visio services in general and Visio data connected diagrams. It doesn't do calculations, okay? It can't do sums and calculations as part of its data linking, okay? So for that reason, what I did is I just came over and I created a simple spreadsheet here. You see this, these steps? These essentially map every step that I found inside of my query. So you'll notice that I have step one, step two, step four, and I was able to map these because we actually output what step they are. So I know now what step in the workflow that's inside CRM is associated with what number, and now because of that, I can actually map it out inside of Visio to kind of represent it in a graphical form. Okay? Does everybody understand how you get from completely textual and pseudocode to more of a diagram? Everybody understand that? Okay. So now what I have is I have all the steps, and all I did is I did some generally easy kind of Excel formatting, count ifs and sum ifs and that sort of thing. In order to find the information, you'll notice this is trying to find everything in the data system that is add default client goals by subject. That is one of the steps in the workflow. Okay, here's the time. And you'll notice that I'm saying if it's not equal to zero, go ahead and add it, right? Total time. I'm looking at the same sort of information in for every single one that is a for that step. Only those items that are for that time. Okay, that's how I summed all the data that is in the log systems into, what is that, 8 easy steps. Okay, 8 individual steps that I can then go over and link into my Visio diagram down here. Okay? So that gives you the ability to actually see how it goes from a CRM, pseudocode, workflow, where that information is, actually in the logs, extracted into an Excel spreadsheet that can be synchronized from PowerPoint, PowerPivot library as a scheduled sync, then to aggregate the information and then connect it to the diagram. Okay. Everybody got that one? It's not all that difficult. So now what we want to do is go to the next step, and I always love dealing with multiple things, which is the solution architecture. This is the IT pro guys, and this is a little bit of the dev guys, okay? What you're looking at here is how did we actually make the cake? What were the tiers? What were the layers of the cake? And the layers of the cake are essentially CRM online and CRM, okay? That's the data layer. Then you have the data extraction layer and the normalization layer, which is all about extracting it, putting together things in a useful manner. And then we have the presentation layer, which is either SharePoint or Visio, okay? Now, the thing that I want to make sure, I think this does a build or doesn't build, which format? Yeah, there we go. What you'll notice is on the right, you have SharePoint on-prem, and then the other one is SharePoint online and on-prem. But what it's doing is going to CRM online. And let me take these one at a time. On the right-hand side with SharePoint on-prem going against CRM on-prem, okay, it's pretty easy, okay? It is essentially internal SharePoint with all NTLM or credentials that then can access directly a SQL database, okay? Very easy to set up and configure. All you have to do is probably get access to the data system. Your IT or your CRM IT guy could help you there, okay? When you're going into the cloud, now we're on the left-hand side, SharePoint online and on-prem, when you're going into the cloud, this adds a whole bunch of complexity. And this is not because it's harder, it's just we made it harder than it had to be, okay? And I'll give you some examples of how, okay? When you go to CRM online, you use your Live ID, okay? Your Live ID is how you authenticate and get into CRM online, okay? If you go into Excel services, into Excel and try to open up a data connection and use a Live ID, will it work? No, it doesn't work. Excel cannot connect to an Azure or some sort of data service in the cloud using a live ID. It can use basic auth, it can use NTLM, it can use, I think it can even use claims, but it cannot use a live ID, oddly enough, right? So in order to do this, in order to solve this, you can find, this is where your dev is gonna come in, okay? Because if you have CRM online, you're gonna need to have a dev in the middle. The dev in the middle is essentially going to write a proxy for CRM online, okay? And that's what that middle tier, Azure or web service. And so now Excel can authenticate to that Azure service or to the web service using a protocol or authentication model that it accepts. And the Azure service or the web service connects to CRM using the live ID approach. Okay? So you introduce one more level of obfuscation and hop and more work, but it's just the way it is. Now, is this going to be fixed in the near future? I asked both the SharePoint team and CRM team, and the answer I got is that is not in the plans for this release. So I don't know when they're going to actually integrate these deeper. I hope sooner rather than later, but for right now, this is the reality. Okay? Any questions about this diagram, how this, what the differences are between on-prem and in the cloud? Okay, good. Alrighty. So let me go back to my deck. I am in my deck. One, four. Okay, so I put this at the end because I figure you guys must be getting hungry by now. Solution inventory. Okay, here's all the ingredients. And I get rid of the meat, but I'll give you the meat. And that is, you can see on the left side that it's Visio Professional, CRM, SharePoint, SQL with Power Pivot, and then on the right, it's CRM. You're going to raw data, okay? We were asked at Convergence whether or not you could go to views and all these other things that go based on role pruning, and no. We went round and round with it for almost 3 weeks, and we could not find a way in which you can access the data through CRM and get access to log information. If you find it, please share it with me, because we worked through every single approach, different views, queries, created views, custom views, everything that we could look. It can't get access to that log information. Don't ask me why. I would hope that there's a DCR somewhere in the future in order to pull out the log information, but right now you have to go directly to the raw data in the log system, okay? Excel. So Excel helps you do the consolidation. SharePoint libraries, you have the process or report library, you have the report dashboard, and then you have the data-connected Visio diagram, okay? Visio services is running to represent that on that web page, okay? One of the things that you may or may not know is that Visio services and Visio both can take comments now, and that is a huge increase. So now, let's say you have this process and your manager comes in here, he could literally come in and give feedback on what that process is. He could say, hey, wait a second, why does it take 10 minutes for the first step? Or why does it take an hour for the first step? And that comment will be tracked along with that diagram. So now you can not only show, tell, hook to that backend data, but you can now get comments about what's going on with the system so that people have visibility into how you're gonna try to improve it in the future. Okay. Here's some action items. Install SharePoint 2013 or Office or use the 365 preview. Install Visio Professional or Visio Pro for Office 365. And then basically explore all those business processes and data for visualization. Remember, thing that I want you to leave is we've been talking about CRM for like the last 50 minutes. Yeah, the last 50 minutes. This is not just about CRM, okay? It's kind of, this is one of those moments. It's free your mind, right? So free your mind. This is any system that has task or information in it that is either workflow or data systems that you need to visualize in an aggregate form, okay? in more of a visual form, and there is no easy way to go from one to the other. It may be an outdated system. It may be a COBOL system. It may be something that's 50 years old. Okay, whatever that system is that that data is locked into, there is now a way to kind of get into it. Now, CRM, you know, we would hope that it wouldn't be locked into it, but it's a great template for how you can interact with other systems that aren't quite designed perfectly to interact directly with Excel and with Visio services. Okay. Now, I've worked with different customers, and we have lots of different things. We've done strategy maps. We've done store maps. And if you go by the booth, we have some things like store maps, and we've done instrumented org charts. So take org charts, and you want to manage people. Well, you do the org chart, you produce it, and then now it's a diagram, right? And now you hook into the HR system, you hook into the review system, you hook into the sales system, and now you look at your org chart, and you get to manage them by looking at the actual org chart itself with all the values and metrics that you care about for the people. Okay, do that for, if you're looking at facilities, you can take a two-dimensional CAD diagram and you can import it into Visio. And then you can publish that Visio diagram out onto Visio services and connect it to some back-end system. So now let's say you're doing facilities management, and you want to know what the power consumption is in different areas. And that's in a data system, right? But there's no way to visualize what the data usage, or excuse me, what the power usage is in those different areas. Who wants to read floor A, room 125? You want to look at the entire system and be able to go, why is that one red? Why is, you know, lab 3 using 5 times the energy that anything else is using? Okay, it's a different way of looking at it. So when I'm talking about workflows and I'm talking about data, we talked mainly about CRM and workflows and connecting to CRM data. But this is any data in any diagram, okay? Here's some resources for you. We've got Stunware for CRM. It's a shareware sort of thing. PowerPivot, information more about it. CRM Dynamics, you can do a trial or you can download it, install it. You've got Connect PowerPivot to Dynamics. Go ahead and Bing that or Google it. I'd rather you Bing it, but search for it out on the internet and you'll find plenty of examples of how to actually do this. There's code examples on how to create these Azure services and such forth. So it shouldn't be too big of an issue for you guys to do. CRM Fetch XML, that's at the end of the deck. I don't actually show it during the presentation because I show it in the UI, but if you want to know later on and pull down the deck, you can have it. Any questions? And I'm going to go ahead and give away some good tchotchkes. And there's actually one more thing if you guys are interested, because we're planned about 15 minutes for us to be able to do Q&A, and we're about 5 minutes early. So I have about 5 minutes that I can show you how to do a BPMN SharePoint workflow if you guys want to stick around for that after I do the kind of the giveaway. And let me queue up what that's going to look like. Yep. Okay, say that question again. Right. Yes. Yes. Yes, and not only that, but the video is going wonky again. Not only that, but I'm also jump-starting it in case I want to turn some of those pieces from CRM workflows into SharePoint workflows. Yeah, it is. It really was. The only thing I didn't do is bring in a SharePoint designer, add, you know, who the mail is, what the condition is, what you do, whether you post it. Video flicky. What are kind of the particulars there, right? That's the only thing I didn't do. And let's say we want to keep post-traumatic stress disorder inside a CRM, but traumatic brain injury inside a SharePoint. You could basically take the one that I just created, take the whole top line and just delete the shapes, and now import that into SharePoint Designer, and there you've started your workflow already. So that's why we kind of did that, is because if you're looking at creating these really large workflows, and you spend all this time designing and it looks good and the logic is right, and then you sit there and you go, well, now I want to take this, this, and this and do it in SharePoint. And somebody says, well, you're going to have to recreate that. Why? Just take the diagram that you have, delete the stuff that's not going to be automated in SharePoint, delete the data connection because it's going to be, have different data, a different data source. Okay? And in fact, that is actually a good point, is that you would then need to take sheet one would come from CRM, sheet three would be from SharePoint, and then you would have a sheet two that it would aggregate both of them. Okay? Because you would have half of your workflow in CRM and half of your workflow inside of SharePoint. But when you look at it, managers don't want to look at two different systems. They want to look at one diagram and make sure that that's good, right? So here, it's a good question. Up, heads up. So. Yeah, well, to give you some heads up on what it is for Designer versus Visio, okay? When you install Visio Professional and you have SharePoint Designer installed, when you install Visio, it lights up the Visual Designer inside of SharePoint Designer. So now you don't have to design it over here and then kind of go and import it over here and modify it. You can all do your workflow just inside of the SharePoint Designer canvas. Okay? But if you're going to do the data connection diagram, that's where you're going to need to bring it back into Visio. Okay? So the question that I have for you guys is, when you need to do to make a something for like on the road, right? There were five steps for on the road. Who can give me some of the five steps? Let's see who can give me three. Anybody can give me three? How I actually created the diagram and connected it and all that stuff? Anybody? What? Uh-huh. That's three, yeah. If you keep going. Do you have any more? Perfect. So you can either have this one, or I can ship you one and a brand new. Just come up and give me your address, and I can ship it. Or this one, and it has, you just need a micro USB. It comes with a micro USB, but I couldn't find it. But you can have either this one, or I can ship it to you. Okay. With that, let me show you what this happens to be. So we were talking about CRM workflows, right? This is a completely SharePoint workflow, and it's a little bit different. Notice that it's not a SharePoint workflow look. It's a BPM look. It's a business process markup notation. And you notice that it has the formalized swim lanes and all the other stuff, right? So this is a fully automated workflow system with zero code inside of SharePoint. Okay, and this was done inside of SharePoint 2010. It can be done even easier inside of SharePoint 2013. So what you'll notice here is that I'm going to go ahead and all of this information here, notice that right here these will change here. All of this is a business process workflow, okay? But when you're thinking about business process workflow, it is not just a one-to-one mapping to a SharePoint workflow. One step in a business process workflow can be 50 steps in a SharePoint workflow. Why? Because managers and business people only care about the big stuff. They don't care that you're going to send a mail, update a list, you know, follow up, get approval. You know, well, the approval would probably be, that's a big enough thing that they want to bring it in, right? So they want the big nuggets. They don't want all the implementation details. SharePoint workflows are the implementation details. So there's not a one-to-one mapping for a SharePoint workflow look and a BPMN. BPMN is more of a higher level than a SharePoint. So what it looks like when we go through here is that we're going to go ahead, and this is kind of showing you that we create a document set in order to house essentially all the documents for an acquisition. Okay? And we actually have the people associated with it too. So in order to kick off this whole process, all I need to do is fill out this simple form. It can have many more fields that I want, but it simply says, what's the acquisition name? And who are the three primary people that are going to approve, design, and review this sort of this process, right? It could be 40 names. It could be additional metadata. It can be whatever you want. I just happen to make it three names for this particular customer. So I go ahead and I execute it, and now when I come back over here, let me go back a little bit, you'll notice that the mail has been sent out. It started the SharePoint workflow by sending out the task to that person, and that person now can look at it and improve it. So what they're going to do is they're going to look at it, and they're going to go ahead, and you can see that it's sent, and it's sent to Blaine, and I'm going to go ahead, open it up, and approve it. Okay. Now I could do all the normal workflow stuff, reassign it, reject it, whatever it happens to be. But I'm going to approve it, and I could alternatively, okay, the great thing about it is not only could I do it in mail, but I could connect it to a task list. This unification of tasks inside of SharePoint 2013 gets even better because I could go to the one side and get my project tasks, and my SharePoint tasks, and my workflow tasks, all of them together. This is kind of the same sort of thing. But in 2010 that I was doing, and that is bringing things together. So when you went on vacation, you came back, you went here, because you could just go like, okay, these are the five tasks that I need to approve, not search through your inbox, right? So that's really the kind of where they would do the approval. Once the approval's done, you'll notice right here, okay, once the approval is done, it starts executing more workflow steps. Now notice, the thing that I do want to point out, notice that this workflow looks extremely long, right? That's because we're logging information, we're posting information, we're trying to figure out how much time was spent on that task, who was assigned, we're logging that information. That information they don't care about in the business process. Business process, there's maybe one or two big bullets, okay? So all of this kind of SharePoint workflow is going to provide the information that we're tracking later on, okay? What you'll notice is that these are all the steps. These are the step, the count, the total time, the average, even the history, okay? Because the history is for step number 3.1, show me every acquisition and how long it took and who was assigned to and that sort of thing. Because you may want to look at it in a process step approach and not an aggregate or at an individual acquisition view. So this is how we extracted this. We just created another list. Continues to go on. We get information about the aggregate. We update the average. Then once that's done, then we actually get a document set that's created. And it's a weird thing in 2010. It gets this little thing because it thinks it's the wrong schema. All you have to do is just hit OK, and it goes away. But later on, what it's going to do is it's actually going to go throw those people that were assigned to that workflow actually back on that document set. Notice about 10 seconds ago, it didn't have the people. Now it does, because as part of the SharePoint workflow, it stamped and updated the metadata information. So now if I come into this document library, I would know who it is, and because it's linked, I could simply right-click and say, hey, what's going on? Are you going to update? You know, I could call and IM people directly that are involved in this process. Okay, because This customer was very mail-centric, we did a mail upload. Okay, that essentially is I have files on the left, I drag them onto an email, I go ahead and I put the name of the acquisition, and I put the name of the library, I send it off, and refresh, there's your documents. I didn't go and drag and drop, though that's cool. I didn't upload, add document. I simply sent the mail with the template documents were for that acquisition. Okay. Then after all that's done, what I do is I go ahead and I look at this information was updated. It went from 3.95 to 3.65. The graphic updated to show that it took less time to do step number 3.1 than it did before. Okay. This workflow actually does like 3.1, 3.2, 3.4, and 3.5, I believe, is the only 3-4 steps it does, okay? But essentially, this big business process markup notation was broken out into 5 different SharePoint workflows. Why? Because each individual swim lane and each individual process can then be modified without modifying the entire thing, okay? Because trying to get 50 people into a room to go like, okay, we're gonna change the business process, whereby getting two sections or one section or three people into a room and going like, okay, this is really isn't working out for Janie, okay? So by breaking up the SharePoint workflow into smaller bite size allows those people to be more agile, change their workflows without really changing the business process and the management vision of what that looks like, okay? So that's kind of the overall of how you can take this and look at it and doing totally different things, right? This is a BPM connected to SharePoint data. We did SharePoint connected to CRM data. We can connect anything to anything as long as we have the data and the visual, okay? With that, any other questions? And I give you back 7 minutes. Thank you. And can you come up? I'll give you this or get your address and ship you a brand new one in a box so you can break the seal. Thank you, everyone. Don't forget to fill out the forms and the evaluations. We greatly appreciate it. And see you at the party tonight. The videos? Okay, yeah. Let me get a pen. Okay. No, you can provide. You can. Oh, you mean in the Azure thing where you create a proxy? Generally, in most examples that I saw, they used essentially a service account, and so they'd use a service account. Yeah. So you could do a user account where you do revert to self and stuff, but that's really complex. What's that? Yeah. And the problem with it is that the way in which that would work is that if we ever actually be able to use views, because views instead of CRM do user-based trimming. When we go to the logs directly, we're getting everything. And so it's up to the user and the IT to trim what they don't want to expose. But basically what this is saying is, this is management. Management is managing every process. And because you're manager A and manager B, does it really matter? I mean, you could create essentially two separate CRM areas in order for them to manage and keep them separated, right? But essentially, if they have workflows in that area, as a manager, they want to have visibility into everything, not just on any individual users, okay? And then the individual users, we've actually done this. I worked with HUD. I worked in federal, so I worked with HUD. And when we went and talked to the individual users, they like being able to see everybody else's visibility.